Hi, this is Mike Levine from Triumph, and I give you the right to rock.
The right to rock. Texas, you're listening to the Right to Rock podcast, the only heavy metal and hard rock show on the net made by fans for fans. And now get ready for two guys who are so metal, they pour motor oil on their cereal. It's Genghis and Rex.
Show for you tonight.
That's great to hear.
Shit. Where are you going with this?
I don't know.
Anyway,
what am I saying? I don't know.
Well, start to show the video of the evening is Twisted Sister. The video is. There's Lemmy.
Okay. Awesome. I can't wait to see that fucking movie.
And we're going to play some Motorhead in a minute.
The Lemmy movie? I want to get that on Blu-ray when it comes out.
So we got a little TS going on, the video years. But as we're getting into this video, it's always time to open the beer when we get started over here. So, Genghis, do you have a favorite TF song?
A favorite
song? Shall I pick?
Let me see. You got me on the spot. I could say, you know, You Can't Stop Rock and Roll is a pretty good fucking song.
Let's do it.
We'll be right back.
that song never gets old in that video. No. That's like one of the best rock videos ever.
It's like a classic fucking metal song. No one ever talks about it. You know, I mean, everyone would say classic metal, sure, Black Sabbath, or, you know, it's like, but dude, fucking Twisted Sister had some great fucking metal songs.
And I think
they're known for, like, We're Not Gonna Take It, but right. It's like, dude, they had some good fucking metal. I mean, that whole album that had You Can't Stop Rock and Roll,
the name of the record.
That's a great fucking album.
Oh, yeah. And the album before that, Under the Blade. Mm-hmm. It's heavy shit.
It's just great fucking straight ahead metal.
But then they got they went a little more commercial for Stay Hungry. But, I mean, that's the album that broke them. Can you blame them? I mean, they struggled for 10 to 15 years before they even got a record contract.
Sure would like to pay rent. That'd be cool. It's like, fuck yeah. You hit it big, I'll ride that wave all the fucking way, dude. Why not?
Now they got fucking reality shows. And they tour a few times a year.
Yeah, I don't begrudge. I mean, I understand the whole thing. And that might be a topic for a future day. The whole concept of selling out. Mm-hmm. Is it bad? Is it not bad? And that's not our topic tonight, so I don't want to go too into
right.
it. But you know what I mean? It's like, look at it from their fucking perspective. It's like, dude, we don't have jobs. Right. You know, I didn't get a PhD to be in a fucking metal band. You know what I mean? So it's not like I have a big fucking education behind this. This is my life. If I don't make it with this, I'm kind of fucked.
Right.
You know, I'm going to be flipping burgers. So the idea that all of a sudden some record exec comes along and says, I like your look, and we want to give you a dump truck full of money to fucking sing the songs that we tell you to sing or whatever, it's like, fucking done. Yeah, I'll do that.
Yeah, tell us.
Yeah, who wouldn't want to fucking live that life? It's like, I get up at noon and, you know what I mean? It's like, fuck that. Why wouldn't I want to do that?
So, that's what I'm saying.
Anyway, yeah, topic for another day. It sounds like a good topic, but our topic tonight is a little different.
But
and we can do that after. Yeah, we can do that after the beer. If you want to
let's,
this
let's
beer
get
is looking
beer
pretty
going
interesting
over here.
I've been eyeballing this beer all night.
I tell you what. As we get into the beer, I think it's time for some Motorhead. Let's get Motorhead getting us going here. You got a song in mind? I kind of got something in my head over here.
I've always looked Killed by Death.
Dude,
is that the song you have on the
say fuck? They're fist
fucking
bump,
love
baby.
That song, dude.
All right, a little Killed by Death by Motorhead, man. That was the same song I was thinking.
The bottle opener.
Fuck, it won't work.
It's not doing it.
It won't work. The monarch will be pissed.
I don't know what he's going to do.
Do 21.
21.
That is mint in box.
Venture Brothers rock, baby.
I love the Venture Brothers. But thank you to the Gigas here, my buddy JS.
Trying to turn him on. It's like, dude, you got to watch the Venture Brothers, dude.
Well,
you want to get into the beer first for the topic?
Yeah. Hold on, let me turn down D a little bit over there. He's getting loud.
D is getting after
crazy.
It.
Hey guys.
Uh oh.
Yeah. What? What?
We thought we could escape the notice.
Hey, I'm just gonna say is maybe it's my turn to introduce a beer.
Why?
Yeah.
What do you have to do with
Why
it?
Why ever would we do that?
Well, I worked with the guys from Rogue, and we kind of helped develop this ale.
Okay. Well, let's look at the bottle here. What's it called?
It's called the John John Ale.
Oh, fuck. For real?
Sounds pretty
fucking
gay. Is that for real?
Yeah, look at that's it.
That looks like
is that you?
That's not...
There's John! Look!
Holy shit. See, I expected this to be like in crayon and be like, this is obviously a fake bottle.
But this looks like a legitimate beer, the John John Ale.
And guys, oh, hold on, I'm getting the. I gotta go.
I got it. What the fuck do you gotta go to?
Hey, last two shows. He keeps
ducking
signals.
Out. Yeah, we just get started and he's gotta go.
Right. Weird.
We edited him out last time, but I guess this time well, fuck it.
Hey, Mel, have you tasted this beer? Dude, you have to be so coarse.
Yeah, no shit.
He's fucking asking if you like the beer or not.
See, he's getting so surly. He is. You can't really get him to do anything. But he works cheap, I'll give him that.
He does.
This is the John John Ale by the infamous Rogue Company, who's made a lot of great beers that we've tried. Even been a part of some of our great beer floats. And this one is the, I can't believe I'm saying this, the John John Ale.
Yeah.
I could have sworn he was gone, but what's that?
He just cut his own mic off. He's like mouthing. He can't stop himself, but for some reason, maybe illegally.
And without even looking,
Do you see Cheese up there, like doing the kill signal?
Oh, that's who that is. Yeah. I saw him in the shadows. Yeah. See, that motherfucker's always, he's like deep throat.
What's going on with those two?
I don't even know. I'm scared to even ask.
I know something's going on.
Last time I heard it, I needed therapy for a long time.
But John's on the bottle now.
Jesus Christ.
It's a rough picture of him. But
pretty rough. But this is the John John Ale, and the quick synopsis for this guy. It's an ale with natural hazelnut flavor, aged in hazelnut spice rum barrels. And that sounds pretty
nice.
Tasty.
Nice.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to... You want to do the pour?
I will do the pour. Dying to try this.
Get a taste of it and do the rating. While he's doing that, I'll give you a quick overview. Your basic, what kind of brew is this? Let's see. That is a, it's fucking, oh, sorry. My phone went off. Freaked me out. So let's get the shit out of me.
Yeah, you got that over there.
Yeah, I'm okay. It is a, let's see, what kind of alcohol content is this? Because I'm not even sure. It's got all the ingredients here. It's a nutty twist to a traditional European brown ale. Dark brown in color with a hazelnut aroma, a rich nutty flavor, and a smooth malty finish. It sounds pretty fucking good. I'm pretty excited about trying this shit.
Yeah, totally.
Have you given it a smell yet?
I gave it a smell.
Ooh, it does have a really nice nutty smell.
Ooh. All right, shall I wait for you?
No, go ahead and take a hit of that, because I got to finish this here, and then...
that's nice.
Initial. Yeah?
It's nice.
Would you classify this?
Spicy.
Spicy, okay, because I wonder about some of these more kind of flavorful beers, whether they're more of a quote-unquote dessert beer, so it's not really one that you
it's
know.
Fairly smooth, though.
Yeah, pretty smooth.
I taste the nuttiness, but also tasted a hint of spice, and our palate is pretty ripe right now. It's ready for the taking, you know what I'm saying?
I like the sound of that. It sounds a little weird, but I'll take it. Our senses are bright for the
day. By the way, guys, just real quick before we get too far, but this video is fucking cool, man.
Oh, man,
some
that is
classic,
good.
Old school TS.
Oh, yeah, dude, this is some nice video. I don't know where this video is from. I mean, it's not like home
BBC
video.
Or something.
Yeah, but it's like real fucking
Top
raw.
Top of the Pops or something, maybe?
Exactly. It looks like it. But to get back to the beer, holy shit, I don't know about you, but that shit tastes great.
Oh, yeah, it's nice.
I'm liking the taste of that shit. It's real good. It's got a nice little copper color. It's
pull up got a nice monkey little, lamp. Yes, yeah, nice and kind
the
of
monkey lamp shows. It gives a little kind of an orange glow to it. It's pretty good. It's not particularly strong or anything. So let's see how it fares against the rating scale here.
Do you taste kind of like a spice at the end though?
A little bit of a spice at the end of it, yeah, as it comes
in.
Not really an aftertaste.
Nutmeg or something?
Kind of like that. I mean, it does say that it is aged in hazelnut spice rum barrels. So maybe a little touch of the rum in there. I don't know. But kind of a nutty, kind of coconutty sort of aftertaste.
Maybe
What would you think if you were to rate this on the taste scale? What do you think? Maybe a...
Give it about a
three.
Give it a three.
I'd go with a three.
You? Well, you seem higher on it than I am.
I would say 3.5 myself. I mean, I really like the taste of this so far. I mean,
well, you usually go up a little more for me, so let's go
3.5. Okay, we'll give it 3.5. And what do you think on the drinkability? I mean, it's not too strong, like you said, so it's a pretty easy drink.
It's pretty.
I'm trying to figure out what the alcohol content is, but I don't see it written anywhere.
I'd give it at least a 3.
I'd say a 3.
A little bit more.
3, I think, is pretty fair. And then finally on the alcoholic content, like I said, I don't see an exact content on it, but 2.5,
Yeah.
I mean, it's not particularly strong.
Not real strong, no.
So overall, I mean, I think that's a solid sort of a 3, I think. Which is not too bad. What do you think? You cool with a 3?
Yeah.
All right. Well, cool. Well, then...
TS is bringing out some dude. Oh, it's the dude from Motorhead.
Oh, no. Okay, that's
Robo.
Yeah. That's shit. Is Lenny going to come out? Look at that. The man himself. You know, at the recent... a film festival that they debuted that the Lemmy biography, and I think it might have even been made by the guy Sam.
I don't think so.
No, it's
wasn't
not
made by
okay.
Sam.
Okay.
It was premiered at the South by Southwest conference here in
right.
Austin.
In Austin, which is
back in the summer.
Yep, and supposedly it got pretty good reviews. I mean, they were saying it was pretty awesome. I mean, think about it. This dude's like a legend, a living legend. He was a fucking roadie for Jimi Hendrix or something like that.
Yeah.
And from there, you know, started his own band. Wasn't he in Hawkwind or something like that?
Hawkwind, yeah. His autobiography, White Line something. I got it over here somewhere. It's buried by DVDs right now, but White Line Fever.
Okay.
Great autobiography.
So I mean, he's quite the classic figure in metal. So I mean, that,
oh, yeah,
I'm
totally.
Sure he's got a rich fucking history to talk
about.
Well,
Robo used to be in fucking Thin Lizzy.
Oh, nice! I didn't realize that.
And then he turned out, to, according to the book, to be kind of a puss.
Oh, really?
And he was in Motorhead for a while, and it didn't sound like him and Lemmy got along too well.
That's too bad.
Because I thought he was going to be this badass because he was in Thin Lizzy. They didn't get along, I don't think.
Fair enough. Well, let's go ahead and kick into the topic.
Sure.
I had a pretty simple topic. Call it posers. And that is, to give you some background, these days, if you think about it, everybody's... You know, you see pictures everywhere. Just do a fucking Google search and go for images of horns up. And you'll get literally just all these different people, particularly a lot of celebrities, throwing the horns up some and playing like they're all into metal or something. You know, they'll stick their tongue out like, yeah, metal. And it's like, I know that fucking Megan Fox ain't been listening to Megadeth albums. You know, she may say she is, but it's like, I'm sure she's like, nigga, who are they? You know, she probably thinks like...
Or Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah, exactly. All these idiots, you know, I doubt...
Or Justin Bieber.
Yeah, that's the thing. I would not. I haven't seen an image of that, but I swear, I'd bet money that you could find an image of Justin Bieber giving the horns up, and it's like, or wearing a metal shirt, and it's like, you know these little metal shirts they're wearing are authentic fucking metal shirts, like an old Megadeth concert shirt that's like, they probably bought at some vintage clothing store for like $200.
Yeah.
You know, whereas you and I probably have some of those shirts in our fucking closet we can't wear anymore. That it's
sure.
Like, that's the legit shit sure. Right there. We got it at the concert.
I gotta tell you, Wifey's not real pleased with my... figure in my classic practice what you preach Testament shirt.
Fitting a little
not a big fan of that. Yeah. I tell you what, let's play some Testament.
Dude, fuck yeah, we will.
What do you want to play off that record? I'm letting you pick everything.
Yeah, I know. Dude, why don't you pick one this time? I wouldn't be mad at you if you picked a song for me.
What, the Greenhouse Effect?
Dude, now you're talking. See, good
let's
choice.
Do it.
See, I knew you could do it. That are doing this shit, you know that, or at least have reasonable
doubt that these idiots don't know real fucking metal, don't really listen to metal, mm-hmm. and yet they do that. And now, is that because in their mind they know, even if they're not followers of it, that metal is just considered fucking cool? That if you're going to do anything in front of the press, it's like, hey, I'm going to take a picture. Boom. You know, they're not doing, like, you know, crossing themselves like they're Christians. They're not doing the fucking Heil Hitler. You know, they're not doing any other kind of fucking sign. They're doing the horns up. And probably that doesn't, like, in India, I bet you can't do that and everybody knows what that means. Or fucking, or some, you know, little fucking, like, Malaysia. I'm sure they don't know what the horns up sign means. So it's like, it's a certain mindset.
Yeah.
So how is that burned into the consciousness? I mean, is that really cool? Or is it disrespectful to metal fans who know that they don't really fucking know anything about metal? I mean, should we be happy about it, that they're spreading the word? Should we be angry? What do you think about that shit?
Well, is it... Let me ask you this. Do you think it's... the cool thing, or do you think it's, oh, I'm a rebel?
And I guess
I'm being rebellious.
That makes more sense. I guess that's probably what it's kind of a rock and roll sign. There's no generic rock and roll sign, right? If you say rock and roll, you kind of do the horns up. I mean, there's not really a...
Yeah.
I mean, this is like Hang Ten. I mean, yeah, you know what I mean? We're sure. not doing that. We're not doing Aloha. We're not doing...
You know what's funny?
Peace used to work, the peace sign for rock
and
roll.
In Texas, if you walk around, and not that we've marketed these things, and if you guys ever showed it off, I guess, desire to fly the flag of the Right to Rock
in all its various forms of metal.
Yeah. On the back of our t-shirts, and we made some t-shirts a while back, mm-hmm. it says horns up, and it's got the horns up.
Yeah, that little...
And you can be walking around with that shirt on, and people are like, Longhorn Rock! I've had that happen to be a
That's
few
right,
times.
That's right, because it's a similar... Yeah,
yeah, it's a Texas Longhorn.
Which kind of works, I guess, but it's like, no, dude, you don't get it.
No, you get it.
That's a different... Horns up doesn't...
The Right to Rock and Longhorns, no. I don't think so. SWT... Forget about it.
Bobcats rule all, dude. We
yeah.
know that.
Yeah,
even
exactly.
though SWT is no more, now it's what? TS. Or
Texas how do you change, State or something?
Yeah, how do you change the name of somebody's fucking alma mater?
I don't know.
That's like, it used to be called Harvard, but all those sweatshirts don't matter anymore. Now it's Harvard State University or something. You know what I mean? It's like, you can't change the name of a fucking...
Hey, guys.
Oh, no.
What? I'm working on a petition to change it to the School of John.
Of course you are. It's not enough you got the Rogue John Ale, you bastard.
What the fuck is that about? He's got this, like, franchise. Ever since he got in that band...
This dude's
And
been
we've been... just real quick.
Yeah.
We've been told that we can't say the name of the band until there's official press release. But someone is in a band that is big and is touring, and their singer
whose lead singer
is now
has gone to do something else.
A TV show. We can't even name the TV show.
Jeez, it's so getting crazy.
It is weird.
All the legal wrangling that gets done, it's like...
Why did we sign that? What did we... just long story short, McCheese took us out to dinner.
Yeah.
He actually paid the tab.
Which
fucking
is really freaky.
Yeah, he got us hammered. And I don't remember signing this stuff, but it looks like my name.
Yeah.
And there's pictures of me, like, passed out with a pen in my hand.
Oh, yeah, with, like, half a lobster in my mouth. So, I mean, at least apparently we ate good.
Yeah, I guess
but
so.
But it's like, what the fuck? Who's doing this?
Yeah, I know. I think we got roofied.
I think we definitely got roofied, which is kind of strange. It's kind of, you know, I don't know what to think about it. I mean, we may have our own lawsuit.
Isn't it weird when John walks by and he kind of, like, does his eyebrows at you?
Uh-huh.
What the fuck's that about?
And makes that kind of move, like, remember? And I'm like, no, I don't remember, dude. In fact, I'm sure if you remember it, I don't want to remember.
At least I was able to, like, fart the next day and still have, like, sounds coming out of my ass. I didn't hurt back there.
It wasn't. That would be bad. Like a whisper.
Exactly. Like, whoosh. So we can play some basketball here.
So anyway, getting back, trying to steer this back on track. You know, Dee Snider himself, speaking of the video that we're watching,
yeah,
he even has his own website called TakeBackTheHorns.com,
yeah,
if I'm not mistaken, where basically he's kind of bitching about the same thing. He's saying, I'm tired of these motherfuckers who don't know shit about metal, you know they don't. I mean, you don't even have to know to know them to know they don't. You know, it's not mm-hmm. even, not even worth investigating because it's like, what the fuck does Megan Fox know about metal? I mean, come on. You think this bitch? If you were to do like a Eddie Trunk style, you know, quiz and say, all right, honey, ever heard of any of these fucking bands?
Yeah, stump like, the. I don't know what. Stump the dumbass.
Yeah, stump the yeah the drunk. And you know she wouldn't know any of that shit because it's again it's poser shit. Or even Lindsay fucking Blohan, where you know that bitch don't fucking know any of this stuff.
Right.
And that's fine. I mean, I'm not saying she has to. Well, I mean, you know what I mean? But it's like, don't act like you do when you don't know shit about it, just so you can be accepted or be cool or whatever.
You know what I mean? I'm sure a jerk off like Justin Timberlake has been, like, pictured doing that as well.
Yeah. I mean, let me do a quick, I mean, while we're talking here, let me just do a quick one. There it is. You can't stop rock and roll, Holmes. I do a quick here. I'm just for the sake of it. I do a quick search, a Google search on Horns Up.
I need to ask. Whenever we talk to JJ again, mm-hmm. why the fuck was he eating like a fucking kolache out there? We're gonna have to ask him about that.
But you know what I mean. I do the Horns yeah. Up and do a search on that, and I'm betting I'll find a celebrity. And damn, there's some pretty crazy ass pictures in here. But yeah, here's pictures of people where you figure, what the fuck are you doing? Flash of the Horns Up. I know you don't know this fucking stuff. I know that I've seen a picture of Katherine Heigl doing the Horns Up. And
is it mainly actresses or actors?
Usually actresses, actually. I've usually seen a lot of actresses wearing, you know, nice tight little t-shirts that are these vintage metal shirts, but it's like, look, honey, you probably weren't even alive when those fucking bands were, you know, touring. For, certainly not for that concert shirt that you're wearing. I know you wanted that fucking concert, no matter what you say. You know what I mean? But
uh-huh.
they pull it out, and you and it's usually, you know, they're going into a, you know, like it's some premiere or something, and they're doing the little red carpet
sure.
runway thing, and they're walking in, and some, you know, camera dude comes up and says, hey, baby, picture. And she's just like, boom, flashes you the Horns Up, and you're like, what the fuck are you doing?
You know what that means.
Yeah, you don't know anything about no Horns Up. I mean, when have you ever listened to a metal album? Can you even name a metal album? Can you even name a metal band?
Right.
You know what I mean? You don't fucking know. So, I guess the question is that doing any good for metal? I mean, certainly, we think as metal fans, the more people that know about metal, you know, the spreading the word of metal, the better, right? I mean, it's going to increase the listenership or whatever, theoretically. So it makes sense then if a celebrity who already has a bunch of eyeballs on them anyway
sure.
is quote-unquote endorsing metal by flashing the Horns Up, you know, you would think that'd have a positive effect. But does it have, in fact, in my opinion, the opposite effect where they go, oh, she's just doing it because she thinks it's cool, but I know she doesn't know shit about metal. And that's probably like every other metal fucking fan who just wants to do like that. I mean, if I can't believe this bitch knows anything about metal, what am I going to think about a motherfucker I've never even met? You know, some stranger flashing the Horns Up. I mean, is he just as fake as this bitch? You know what I mean? Is it doing us more damage than good?
I'll do a point counterpoint. Because okay. I think you're on the side that this is doing us damage.
Uh-huh.
And taking it away from the Horns Up to the t-shirts.
Mm-hmm.
If a celebrity of some sort is wearing a vintage t-shirt of Megadeth, Motley Crue, or somebody of that genre, you know, nature,
mm-hmm.
Maybe, you know, some kid's going to say that idolizes these people and says, whoa, you know, I guess not Brad Pitt's not the guy anymore. But, you know, this what's that guy's name that's in like Transformers?
Oh, Shia LaBeouf?
Yeah, that guy.
However you say his name.
Yeah. Or somebody on one of these TV shows that's younger, whatever.
Yeah.
So wearing a show or a shirt from like Metallica or Megadeth or Anthrax or something like that.
Right.
It says, whoa, that's a cool t-shirt. I love the design. Wonder what that is. They do get on the internet, Anthrax. Oh, wow, this is a band? I wonder what they're about. And on the chance that the kid hears it and says, whoa, I like that. Here's I'm the Man or here's Indians or something like that.
Uh-huh.
Whoa, these guys are cool, man. And then he gets an Anthrax and it just spawns into... I mean, once the metal gets into you, it doesn't get out. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, I mean, just to be maybe the devil's advocate or whatever, you know, the counterpoint. Maybe there is a little bit of good that can be there. If it's just a
star flashing the horns up, maybe not so much, but if they're wearing the T to back it up, even though they probably don't know what the fuck that means. Because right. I've seen how Motley Crue, Vintage, Shout the Devil shirts have come back, you know,
right.
as being
see,
a big
that's the
deal.
Thing. It's real popular to wear those old vintage yeah. shirts, and I can see it from the angle of this is a vintage piece of clothing, mm-hmm. and that's cool. I mean, like, that's what Cyndi Lauper did in the 80s. She was wearing all this shit, or even Madonna. All that shit they were wearing, it's like when you see, like, in the credits or something for, like, a TV show that they're on, it's like, this clothing supplied by, you know, Madame Treacle's, you know, vintage clothing store. And like, okay, so it's old clothes that have been preserved, and you're wearing them, and you're kind of doing a little, look at me, I'm doing this old shit.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, and that,
it's
and
my
I,
style.
Yeah,
whatever.
And that's a certain kind of style, and that's cool, whatever. But it's like, but you're doing shit that's kind of ours, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, metal fans tend to be kind of, what's the word? Kind of real protective of their shit.
Oh, yeah.
You know? So, are you diluting, you know, the sort of idea by wearing that when you don't know shit about it? Or are you helping to spread the word? And I think that's kind of a good question. Who knows which it is?
Yeah.
Maybe it's a little of both. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, what's funny is The Onion did an article about it. And The Onion, you know, they're hilarious. They do all these little spoof articles like news. And they did one, a famous one called, here's the title of it, Metal Council Convenes to Discuss Metal Hand Sign Abuse. You know, and it does some funny shit. They talk about it. Like, now, I do read in the article, and I don't know if it was this article, but someone else said something about even the Bush daughters are doing it. I'm like, yeah, I've seen the pictures of them doing it. They're doing the Longhorns one.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, you guys
Texas.
Misread that. Yeah, and that's the problem. For people that aren't from Texas or even America, you know, the University of Texas, which is one of the biggest universities in Texas, which is one of the biggest states in the whole country, so it's a big deal. They're famous. The sign for their mascot, the Longhorns, looks very similar to
horns up.
The horns up sign.
Yeah, it looks like
it's almost identical, but it really means longhorns. It's supposed to look like a, you know, a longhorn head.
Yeah, metal's more like this.
Yeah, and the thing is the Bush sisters, I think they went to UT, or they're certainly from Texas, so they're probably, you know, big fans of UT because they're one of the most successful football teams from Texas, and college ball is a big industry here in America, and certainly in Texas. So it's not surprising they're doing that. But it's like, that's not the metal sign, you know? They're not, like, posing. They're fucking saying, UT, all right, you know, hook 'em horns. That's the phrase, hook 'em horns. But other people, though, like I said, I've seen pictures of Katherine Heigl, the actress. I've seen Megan Fox wear metal shirts. I mean, there's no question.
They're not saying hook 'em horns.
Yeah, they don't even know about the fucking hook 'em horns thing, I'm sure.
Right.
They're trying to look like metal, baby, and it's like, you don't know shit about metal. So for me personally, I get offended. I'm just like, fuck you. You don't know nothing about metal.
Yeah, fuck that.
You're a poser. You know, the classic sort of poser. Someone pretending to be something they're not so that they'll be considered popular or cool.
Right.
And, you know, us metal people, I mean, how cool is it? I mean, you could argue, how cool is it that you're, you know, 40-something years old and you're still going metal, going to concerts, and it's like, fuck you, dude. I like this music, and metal's
it's in
a legitimate.
My blood, baby.
Yeah, metal's a legitimate musical art form. You know, I mean, if rap's a fucking legitimate art form, metal's certainly a fucking
totally
art form. It's been around a lot longer. Hey, look, it's Homeboy,
Kevin
Niedermeyer, from the We're Not Gonna Take It. From Animal House. I don't know. I think I heard he died.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Look at those holes there.
But anyway, So anyway, I don't know. I mean, the final analysis is, who knows? It probably goes both ways.
Yeah.
You know? It probably does help, but at the same time also is kind of stupid and kind of cheapens things. And like I said, Dee Snider, who, you know, bitches about it, and rightly so. I mean, he is a metal guy. He's got his right to talk about it. He says it's bullshit and we need to have people stop doing that. I mean, I don't mean, obviously it's kind of tongue-in-cheek, the whole... You know, it's not like he's going to fucking get Congress or something to outlaw it or something like
right.
that. But, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, hey, you fuckers, if you don't know nothing about metal, don't act like you do.
Go fuck yourself.
Yeah, quit trying to cop our shit, ride our coattails to coolness, you know? So, if you think about that, if that's so, then you can sort of infer from that then, oh, so being metal is cool.
Sure. That's why you're trying to pretend to be metal when you're not.
Because metal's back.
You want to be cool.
Right.
And admittedly, I think metal is starting to wane. I think it has been back for years, and now it's starting to finally start to subside.
So?
I think so, and I'm not happy about it. And I'm not saying, and we know metal's never going to die. It's not going away.
I kind of disagree with you.
You really think, it's still going strong?
I think so, because look at all the strong music coming out, man.
What?
I can't keep up.
And strong music coming out doesn't necessarily mean that it's still popular with people. You know,
okay,
the bands
are
putting out good material, and
but,
that's great.
I mean, what was that tour? There was the Uproar Tour, I think Rockstar Uproar Tour.
Mm-hmm.
I think that did pretty well. We'll have to look at that, look at the stronger tours of the year. As we wind down the year, which we're in October,
mm-hmm.
We'll wind down and see, you know, say November, December,
mm-hmm.
where... you know, some of these tours wound up, along with our picks of the year and all that good stuff. Well, I have some good
that's
stuff
true,
for you
that
towards
shit's
the end
coming
of the
up
year.
Pretty soon.
And I got some great ideas for, you know, some shows coming up, and Genghis has been good enough to come up with some good ideas here.
I do what I can. For the kids.
The band, forget about it.
For the kids.
So,
well, you know, speaking along those sorts of lines, you got any sort of an idea for a pick of the week?
Pick of the week.
Maybe a
yes,
little.
I got some Sonic Syndicate.
A little Sonic Syndicate.
Fucking digging those guys. I got their brand new record, which I don't know if it's been released in the States yet, but I was able to pick it up on Amazon early. The European release. It's called We Ruled the Night. Brand new release on Nuclear Blast. Very cool record. And I would have to say my pick of the week is probably a Break of Day. Let's check it out. It's interesting to talk about bands like that because there's a lot of them right now. If you listen to A Bullet for My Valentine, I don't know who the band was came up with this style or whatever, but you know, Bullet for My Valentine, when that came out and they had the Poison, I think they peaked on the Poison. The last few records have been good. The Fever was cool. I haven't given it a totally fair shake. I have to give it a better shake, but. Sonic Syndicate seems like they get better each record. And I think this record here could be their peak, but who knows? We'll have to see what they do next time. But very cool stuff. Kind of mix of death with a little bit of melody, with great guitars and stuff like that. So,
cool.
Hope you guys dug that. How about you, Genghis?
I think if I was going to go with a pick of the week, it's not a pick of the week in the sense that it's brand new stuff I'm listening to. I think that's traditionally what we sort of think of as pick of the week. But I think a pick of the week is more like, you know, all week long I've been listening to this shit.
Sure.
And so this is an older album, but it's one that I, you know, every now and then I go back to and just go, fuck, I forgot how good this fucking album is. And you know me, more of a shredder, kind of instrumental kind of guy.
Yeah.
And this guy is, I'm trying to think, where is this dude from? I'm not really sure. Let me do a quick, you know, while we're talking, a quick look up. Alejandro Silva is his name, and yeah, he's from Chile.
Chile.
He's a Chilean instrumental heavy metal guitarist, and he's a real badass dude. He's jammed with Vine stuff on stage.
Oh, nice.
One of those dudes, and he's had an album called, I don't know if you say I or One. I mean, it's like the Roman numeral One.
Sure.
And this track that you're going to hear is called K2. We'll be right back. he's got some energy. There's some of those dudes where there's a lot of instrumental guitars where you hear him play and you're like, okay, you clearly have some chops, and yes, this is an instrumental album because there's no singing. But it's not really blowing me away. It's not like something that I feel like I would just listen to jamming in the car. It's just more of a like, I'm proving that I can make right songs without any singing.
Right.
This guy, no. You listen to it, you're like, yeah, this shit clearly stands on its own. Bomb. You don't need a singer. Yeah,
sure,
this dude's fucking rocking it.
Cool.
So,
pick of our classic of the week. We'll finish with that. We usually...
Well, you know, before we do that, let me stop and slow things down real quick. And I got a surprise, you know?
Surprise?
We actually have a fucking voicemail.
Oh, nice.
Somebody actually called the hotline. I don't know how they got through the legions of fans.
Oh, well,
how they got through all the calls.
Is what I'm hearing.
Exactly.
So many calls. So nothing actually gets into the line because there's so much traffic.
Exactly.
It's weird.
Let's say that. And this actually happens to be from my old boy Snake 65, also known as Eric, from up in New York.
New York,
as
Brooklyn,
you can tell when you hear it, you'll tell this guy's from New York. No offense, dude, but that's a definite New York accent, and we dig it.
So, and Eric Snake has concerns about the Halloween show. So
he's got a helpful suggestion. I think he's got a point. Let's hear what he has to say.
Genghis, Ragman, Snake 65, Derek, how are you? Listen, I've been thinking, you know, the Halloween thing coming up every year. John's like, a weak link risking everybody's life. I think the man to take with you, even though there's a lot of anger issues, is Mel. I mean, Mel's got himself a pretty foul mouth, but we all know Mel could take care of himself and much better than John walking around in his underwear getting you guys in trouble. So looking forward to the podcast, guys. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Tell me that's not a great idea.
I have to disagree. Guy's going to come down and talk.
That only proves that it's a great idea.
Exactly.
If John disagrees,
all I'm going to say is next show you guys have, I need to have an editorial.
Editorial? What is this, a news program now?
Yeah, this isn't a democracy.
You guys give news, right?
Well, yeah, I guess.
Okay, I have an editorial.
Who died and made you fucking king?
Exactly.
All I'm saying is, who's the highest paid guy here now?
You.
Who actually gets paid at all? I guess you.
Yeah.
I wish we were getting paid.
That's all I'm saying.
Fine. All right.
Hey,
I mean,
what do you want to do with your life?
That is a classic fucking video.
Yeah, totally.
Let me finish up. I'll go ahead and throw in my classic of the
classic
show.
Classic of the show.
And speaking of, in fact, I can't remember who it was. Somebody actually said something in the forums, I think it was, that said, hey, I'm more of an old school kind of neoclassical dude, so if you could play some more neoclassical, I appreciate it.
Sure.
And we are not insensitive to these requests, dude. Especially since we got a handful of fans. Yeah. It's not hard to answer all of their specific individual requests.
The demand is staggering.
We're able to keep up with the demand.
Right.
So
right.
I'm going to go with one of my old favorites.
Sure.
Another instrumental guitarist, George Bayas,
cool.
Who has played with a bunch of different bands. But I like his solo work most of all. This is off his Mind Over Matter album. And this is probably my favorite George Bayas tune. This one's called God's Guard. Classical style, but that motherfucker makes it sound fresh, and I love that, because that's the thing, you gotta tread that line with neoclassical. With neoclassical, it's like, okay, I got the chops, I can play it, but you gotta be good enough to be able to make, you know, song after song on your album without it all sounding like the same fucking scales over and over again. And he does that great. Him and people like Vinnie Moore, they're able to make that shit sound fresh. Moore. Oh yeah, we know that motherfucker's got the chops.
Totally.
So wrap this little bitch up.
Well, just to let you guys know, coming to you, which you heard in the intro, like you always do, is a interview with a legend in the hard rock realm, Mr. Mike Levine from Triumph. How fucking cool is that? We got Mike
totally
to come in.
Totally cool. He's the shit.
Chat with us. And just a great conversation. The guy is fucking awesome. So, little old school classic hard rock, heavy metal for you tonight. But we want to, before we do that, we want to give you some.
Hi, this is Mike Levine from Triumph, and you're listening to Genghis and Ragman. Horns up. Ragman, Mono e Mono, with one of the best bassists in a power trio ever, one of the best power trio evers. We're talking to Mike Levine from Triumph. Give it up, people.
Hey.
Mike, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing great, man. How are you?
Oh, great, man. I got to just start the interview by saying it is an honor to talk to you, sir. I've been a Triumph fan for, oh, my Lord. 30 years?
Yikes.
A long time, man. Long time.
That's awesome. Welcome to the 30-year club.
you ought to send out, like, awards to your fans that have been fans for so long, you know?
I'm thinking that, you know, gold watches or whatever, you know. Everybody's going to retire with it.
That would be, hey, man, I'm going to help you with some marketing. You go on your site and you sell these, like, gold watches to your fans. That would be cool.
Inscribed.
Exactly. Well, Mike, you've got your first new record in I don't know how many years. It's actually a bunch of your old stuff remixed called Greatest Hits. Can you tell me, I don't know, I think before we get into your new record, let's kind of talk about how you guys got back together, I guess, for the Hall of Fame here a few years back, and then evolved to getting this Greatest Hits package released.
Well, you know, the as probably most of your listeners are aware, that you know, there was quite a rift between Rick on one side and Gil and I on the other for many years, and the two Hall of Fames that came along for us kind of initiated conversations between us, and eventually it just kind of came out that you know, what was this all about anyway? So. You know, we're all kind of regretted what happened and how it went down, but, you know, we decided to move on. So that's kind of the long and the short of it, you know, as far as the guys getting back together. And, of course, the Hall of Fame things we got were, you know, quite the honors, obviously. You know, we got one from the Canadian music industry and then the Music Hall of Fame. And then we decided, why not play a couple of shows? You know, some offers came in, and we said, yeah, well, you know, let's see if we can still do it together. And of course, well, you know, one of them was the headline appearance at Sweden Rock and headline appearance at Rocklahoma. And both those shows went exceedingly well under the circumstances, and we had a lot of fun and figured out that we could still play together, still laugh together, still travel together, you know. So it was a very interesting time. And then that led to, well, you know, we've been thinking about this new greatest hits for, 15 years. In a typical Triumph manner, as in the old days, you know, why do today that you can put off till tomorrow? So we decided that, you know, it's time to really, you know, get serious about it. So that's what we did, and the new package, I think, is incredible.
Well, yeah, I got to admit, when this thing was released, you know, I've got everything on CD, but I had to have it because there's a DVD. I mean, you gave us the best of both worlds, and I think when bands do this, to sell the greatest hits these days, especially with, you know, the digital age and everything, you got to give the fans a little bit more, and the DVD portion of this is just as fun as the audio portion.
Yeah, it was, you know, an integral part of what we thought. You know, it's like, if you're going to do it, let's do the ultimate package, because, you know, you never know if any package you do, maybe the last one, so to speak. So we went whole hog on it. We spent a lot of money putting it together, and really spared no expense on any of the items in there, whether it's CD, which we mixed. That was a huge effort. And on the DVD, you know, all the songs were mixed in 5.1. So, you know, you put it on a nice home theater system, it smokes. And even the, you know, the booklet. I mean, there's pictures in that booklet I never saw before. So it's just cool. You know, it's the ultimate. If I was a Triumph fan, I'd own it for sure.
Oh, yeah. Well, let me ask you this. When you guys were starting to put this together, you guys have such a vast catalog, you know, what you guys did, and every album's, you know, got lots of great tunes on it. How did you pick each song, and what was it like getting back in, and you're like, okay, what are we going to do with Magic Power? How are we going to, you know, go in there and make that, you know, sound fresh and stuff? And that was one thing you did, is a lot of these tunes kind of have a fresh sound to them and a punchier sound to them.
Something's at the edge of your mind. You don't know what it is. Something you were hoping to find. You're not sure what it is. Then you hear the music and it all comes crystal clear. The music does the talking and says the things you.
Yeah, that's a twofold question. I'll give you a twofold answer. number one, actually, the fans picked the songs. When we did the Sweden Rock show, the promoter ran a little thing on his website, which turned into a big thing, is, you know, what songs would you like to see in the Triumph set when they play the show? So he got somewhere in the area of 50 or 60,000 responses. And, you know, so we took 10 of them and just added them up and went, okay, here's the, you know, the top 20 songs. And then we ran the same thing with the regulars on the Triumph website. And the consensus was those 14 songs, and it was awfully close, you know, and between 14 and 20. It's just, you know, it was sticks and pick 'em. But so that's how the songs got picked. And then number two, Rich Chickie, who did the mixes on the songs. He's a great recording engineer and mixer, a huge Triumph fan. I ran into him by accident. He had moved to L.A. He's a Toronto boy and a great guitar player in his own right. And we had known each other for a long time. And we ran into each other at a liquor store. And I said, Rich, you're back in Toronto. He goes, yeah, I moved back, blah, blah, blah. What are you guys up to? We went for coffee. So I told him what we were planning to do. And he says, I have to do this mix. He said, I know every cymbal, I know every guitar lick, I know everything of every
nice.
Triumph song ever recorded. I'm the guy, if I don't get to do this, I'll kill you. So, you know, under that threat, you know, I hired Rich to do it. And he did more than actually refresh those songs. I mean, it was, you know, he did an immaculate job. If there's a Grammy Award for remixing old songs, I think he should get it. Because, quite honestly, it's like I'm flabbergasted with the job he did. I mean, everything just sounds so good. And it's kind of neat in the greatest hits, because usually you get a cross-section of years of recording, right? One song sounds really dull and lifeless and whatever, because there was no recording technology in the 70s. And then you recorded something in the late 80s, and there was tons more technology. So the audio is all over the place. This way it sounds consistent. It could be like a brand new record almost, because it was all done using the same technology that was in business available a year and a half ago when it got mixed.
You know what? You know, I never put that together, but, you know, you're exactly right. Well, of course you're right. You're the guy that did it. But, you know, listening to it, because I took this on a road trip with me, and, you know, I'm singing every song. I know them all. And you know what? If you think about it, the sound is consistent throughout, and I never put that that together there. And you're right, man. It could be like a new record that you just happen to know all the lyrics, you know?
Yeah, like if you didn't know anything about Triumph, you could think it was a new record.
Oh, yeah, that's true. There's one new track, or I guess it's kind of pulled from the archives, where you guys did a cover of Love Hurts. What led you to pick in that, or did you have anything else that you could pull from?
Well, the Love Hurts track was left over from what I call Triumph V2.0, when Phil X, we did an album with Phil.
Oh, yeah.
Called Edge of Excess in the early 90s. And we had recorded that song, but never really mixed it, because we decided not to put it on that record. So when I'm looking through the archives, I'm going, you know, because Triumph, we just pretty much recorded whatever we thought was really good. And so there wasn't a lot of stuff left over, because we were able to basically edit our own material. So we'd like a song, and then we do a bed track and put a rough vocal on it and go, that really stinks. And then we'd erase it and move on. So there wasn't a lot of leftover stuff. And the stuff that is left over, maybe we'll put out an album called Triumph Bloopers, because a lot of it's not very good. But so it was a logical choice. Gil sings the heck out of it. It is part of Triumph history. Regardless whether, you know, it would have been nice if Rick had played on it, but it still was there, right?
So, mm-hmm.
And it sounds like Triumph. I mean, you know, it's a classic song, A. B, we slowed it down a lot from previous versions that other people had done and made it a lot heavier. So, you know, I think it's cool, and I hope the fans enjoy it.
Oh, yeah, I think Gil does a great job vocally on there as well. On the DVD portion, there was something that I was kind of curious about on Allied Forces. I guess you guys put it's a live version from the US Festival, and you didn't have the original video version. I was looking for that Space Invaders video game version.
Yeah.
what made your choice to not put the original video instead of the live version there?
Your original video I hated.
Oh, did you? It's cheesy, but it's cool to watch now, you know?
It was cheesy then, even, I thought. But we didn't have a good copy of it, you know? That was part of the problem. I mean, we had to send out to MTV and to Much Music here in Canada to see what they had, because a lot of our stuff, wasn't stored properly, and the tapes, we couldn't reproduce them. So, in a perfect world, we would have had everything, and we usually try to keep everything, but that was an incredible triumph failing, in that a lot of our video was not up to scratch, in that it had rotted or melted or
whatever. Oh, man.
Yeah, which is kind of a drag. So, that's the answer to your Allied Forces one. A, it's bunk. B, we didn't have a good copy that we could actually edit. But you know what's kind of neat? In the original early promo videos, like the Lay It on the Line and Hold On, we managed to get those stretched into widescreen aspect without us looking like NFL linebackers, the short fat guy playing guitar, which is exactly what we looked like when we tried to do it, and that's no good. And then somebody told us about this technology that you can stretch and not get fat.
Oh, wow.
So, we got the box up to the studio and tried it out, and it looked great. So then, of course, we had to go back and reconfigure the entire DVD, which took months, just because that's how long it takes to do DVD stuff. You can't do it overnight. And but it turned out way better, so we're happy with that.
Oh, yes, cool. And that's another thing that is really cool about the DVD is there's some kind of rare live footage, older footage that I hadn't seen before that I thought was really cool that you guys had added in.
Yeah, we just tried to get stuff that I keep calling it stuff, but that's my term for triumph things. So we tried to get a video and or audio that was unique, and it's just part of the concept of the package, is to make it unique and different. So, everybody had bits and pieces of everything prior to this, whether you owned the CD or you owned the Live at the US Festival DVD or the Night of Triumph DVD. But make it a little different, make it special. And I think, again, we accomplished that.
Oh, yeah, I think you did. And I want to give you props, too, for what you guys did release, over the last, 5, 6, 7 years with the US Festival and in the Night of Triumph Live DVDs. I mean, it's so cool that I don't know how you got the rights to your US Festival stuff, but I've been dying. I wish somebody would just release that whole Hard Rock Heavy Metal Day on a great, box set or something. I would be first in line to buy it. But how did you get the rights to that? Was it difficult, or is that something that was already pre-negotiated?
That was pre-negotiated with our deal with Steve Wozniak, the Apple guy that promoted the show. Our agent was smart enough to put that in the deal. So, and none of the other acts did it. We're the only band that actually had physical rights to their own set.
Oh, that's awesome, man.
And I spoke to Steve Wozniak about doing a package. I said, hey, we have a studio here in Toronto. We can do all the audio. We can remix it all in surround sound. You put up the video, and we'll get Warner Brothers or somebody that, big record label to distribute it. And then he told me that he sold all the footage.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I wonder who he sold it to.
He sold it to this guy in Florida. He got tired of paying storage on it, and he sold it to this guy in Florida who I don't know, but he's been trying to get clearances to put this out, but apparently he's not the most well-liked person in the world and has a bad attitude, so it ain't ever going to see the light of day unless he sells it back to somebody.
Oh, man, that sucks. Like I said, I'd be first in line to buy that because what a monumental day, and then a guy of my age, I think it was probably 15 or so when that happened. You know, you can't fly to California when you're 15. Well, I guess you could, but my parents were going to have that. So I listened to it on the radio. I'll never forget. And then y'all's set was amazing that day.
Yeah, we were hot that day. We played really good. And I was more than impressed with our performance.
Oh, yeah, and the footage shows. I mean, you guys were having fun, and you guys were on fire that day. And a lot of the bands were. I mean, it was a monumental day in hard rock and heavy metal history, for sure.
Yeah, I don't think you'll ever see a show like that with, out of the six acts or however many there were, you know, other than Motley Crue just starting out in Quiet Riot, the rest of the bands, I mean, all huge headliners of the day. And you'll never get, never put together that kind of package again.
No, never. And you hit a great point there. Everybody was peaking, too.
Yeah.
You know, you guys were peaking. I mean, you guys had that stretch. There were three albums, and I'm sure they're all platinum, but you had Allied Forces, Never Surrender, and then Thunder 7. I mean, that was a triple threat that not many bands could put out back to back to back, you know?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that was our hot time. I mean, we were in a groove, and if you had to pick, you know, a time frame where, okay, when was Triumph at its best, I'd say right there. You know, starting with Allied Forces right through Thunder 7.
Yeah, and I couldn't pick a favorite album out of the three. If they say, what's your favorite Triumph album, let's those three. I mean, because they're this all solid records.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. Good choice, because actually Rick and Gil and I were talking about that a couple of weeks ago, and we were just saying, you know, well, when do you think? Because we did a lot of interviews together, and, you know, some questions come up, but that one never did. But I think we were having dinner one night, and Rick says, you know, when do you think we really nailed it, you know? And we just bantered around. We all agreed those three records were certainly where, you know, Triumph, you know, started to peak and peaked and kept at the peak for a while.
Well, if you look at the records following, too, you know, Support of Kings and Surveillance, you look at those were good records, but, you know, those three were so solid, like you said, you know.
We're in a groove.
Yeah,
sure.
Totally, man. Well, I got a question for you. You know, you have some brothers there up north with you, Rush, that just had this documentary done on you. And I was watching the DVD portion of this part of your remix package, and I was like, you know what? How awesome would it be if Triumph had a major documentary, and then they start the reunion tour and put out new music. I mean, this is just a fan talking, saying, you know, wishing. But, I mean, I don't know if you guys have ever been approached to do anything like that or if you'd even be into doing something like that. But would that be something you guys would be interested in? I mean, I think this would be awesome for Sam Dunn because he's like a Canadian guy, too.
Yeah, Sam is Canadian, and there have been some conversations. He's just been, you know, he's been very busy. Did the Iron Maiden one, too, right?
Yeah.
And then he did, you know, while he was doing that, he was also doing Rush, and now he's taking a break. So.
Oh, I don't blame him. And the Rush movie was incredible. I'm not sure if you've seen it, but they did a really nice job.
I hear it's really good, yeah. And Sam's a good guy, and, you know, we certainly got a lot of footage he can put together. And, you know, we'll see how that plays out, whether it's Sam or somebody else, you know. It's certainly been a topic of discussion anyway for the last couple of years, even.
Well, you know, another interesting thing, too, is if you look at it, you know, Rush had the DVD, or the movie made about them, and then this Anvil movie, another Canadian band, but not on the scale of, you know, you guys or Rush, but that, man, that just jump-started their career. Now, I think they were open for AC/DC here, you know, last year or so.
Yeah, it's really cool. I mean, they're good guys, and God bless them, you know. It's like they beat their head against the wall for so many years, and this is all of a sudden, this movie's put them on the map, which is so cool.
I think it's awesome, and there's so many bands. I mean, being a fan for so long, if you look at it, and you're like, oh, God, I'd like to see you. Where are you now with this one? But I'm an established band like you guys. I mean, I think this would just fuel so much for you guys if you guys were to get into something like this.
Yeah.
So,
well, you know, we'll see how it plays out. You know, it's one of those things where we're still undecided whether, you know, a tour is in the offing, but certainly not till the economy turns around. You know, we wouldn't dare go out until the economy gets healthy again.
Yeah, I don't blame you. Well, that was my next question. You know, what's the next step? Do you guys say, you know what, let's write some music and see what happens, or do you go out and tour? I think the market for you guys right now, as much as I'd love to see you here, we're in Texas. I know you guys were huge in San Antonio back in the day. We're in Houston. I think we filled some arenas here for you, too, back in the day.
I remember Sam Houston Coliseum and the Summit. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I saw you in the Summit a couple times. And I remember because I went to school right outside of San Antonio, and KISS was huge for Triumph.
Huge. Huge is not the word. It's enormous. It's gigantic. Those guys were awesome. Joe Anthony and Lou Roney, those guys, I mean, they really, you know, kick-started our career in America. Those two guys, you know, and Joe passed away, but Lou's still around. I saw him, geez, I think when the Yes Festival DVD came out, I was in San Antonio and I got together with Lou for a drink. Hadn't seen him in 15 years, 20 years.
Wow.
Amazing. Where do you guys go from here? Is it, you know, let's, you know, sit down in a room, try to write some music, or do you think about doing some festivals over in Europe? Because Europe's probably, in my opinion, with the way the market is, like you said, North America is kind of, you know, the economy sucks. Well, I guess it sucks everywhere, but worse here, I guess, for a band. You've got the festival circuit there in Europe, and then, you know, maybe a couple select dates in the U.S. with maybe another Rocklahoma appearance or something like that. But that's a lot to digest, which I apologize. But, you know, where do you guys go from here? Well, that's a good question. You know, I wish we knew. The official Triumph plan right now is we don't have an official Triumph plan. You know, we've been, you know, had meetings with Live Nation. They flew up here a few weeks ago and took us to dinner, and we talked about various opportunities and, you know, what their feelings were of, you know, if we were to go on the road, you know, kind of thing. Because really, they're pretty much the only promoter you can work with these days in America, anyway.
Yeah, pretty much.
And, you know, so that was an interesting conversation. But, you know, we all did agree that, you know, until the economy turns around, there's not much point going out. So I think our plan, should we ever have a plan, would be if the economy turns around, or when the economy turns around, and Mike Brick and Gil have the scheduling together. In other words, because we all have different lives now. It's not like we're a band that makes records all the time and goes on the road all the time. We haven't done that in many, many years. So everybody's got different kind of lives and life cycles to deal with. But it would require, you know, probably a 9-month commitment that we'd all have to make to go out and do it properly. And, you know, and not to say that wouldn't happen. It's just that's, you know, in a perfect world, that's the way it would have to fall. As far as new music is concerned, I don't know. When I go to shows to see old bands, I go to the bathroom when they play new music. I'm really not interested. And so does everybody else. The lineups are huge.
Mm-hmm.
So my experience is, if you want to make new music, it better be absolutely outstanding. I mean, set the world on fire. Be all over the radio, if there is radio. Have the fans love it. For my two cents worth, if we were going to make new music, I would suggest to Rick and Gil we do a couple of songs and just make them available on iTunes, and probably not play them live, because every new song you play eats up a song that somebody came to hear.
Oh yeah, true.
You know, so that's kind of being a quote unquote classic band. That's what classic means. It's you have classic songs that people want to hear.
True. Well, let me ask you this. After Edge of Success, and you guys said, okay, I don't know if you ever officially broke up, or you said we're taking an extended hiatus and we don't know when this is going to happen again. Was the reason to do that just basically the music scene at the time, or were you guys said, we've been touring for so long, I'm tired, let's do some other stuff? I guess Gil's really into producing and stuff. I think you are as well, aren't you?
Well, Gil has a studio and a school now as well, which does very, very well. It's a institute. It's called Metalworks Institute, and it teaches everything from sound recording to music business, and it's very well attended. He has a couple of hundred students in any given semester out there, and it's quite the place. It's probably the number one school in North America now for that kind of thing.
Nice.
So that's, that's what absorbs a lot of his time. And me, I'm just in and out of rehab, my job is really to repackage all the Triumph stuff, find interesting things. I devoted really 2 years of my life to this greatest hits package. So, I've been busy with that kind of stuff.
That's got to be fun too, kind of digging back into all that stuff, I would imagine.
Yeah, it was interesting, let me tell you that. Again, locating things where you thought they were and they weren't there was frustrating at times, but I had a good crew of guys at the studio working with me, and they were able to, what I couldn't find, they could find, or they salvaged tapes. I mean, it's pretty amazing what you can do when you find an old audio tape you want to use, and you put it on the machine, and it starts to shed, and you go, uh-oh. And what they do is they bake the tape. They put it in an oven.
Wow.
For a couple of days, not at a very high temperature,
mm-hmm.
but that kind of reoxidizes everything on the material is on the actually on the tape,
mm-hmm.
but it makes it so you can actually play it, hopefully, and you might get one play out of it, but you transfer it over. So we transferred all the 2-inch tapes, to new 2-inch reels, and then onto Pro Tools. So anyway, it was a long, complicated process to get everything together for this, and I'm going on vacation as soon as all my interviews are over.
I don't blame you, man. I don't blame it. Well, I got to say, before I let you go here, seeing Rick, I guess he had released some footage on some of these festivals that he'd been doing over in Europe where he was doing Triumph songs, and it really got to me thinking, I think something's coming down the pike, and I think a year or so later, after some of the footage I'd seen, you guys were back. So welcome back, man. I hope you guys, either do some shows or put something together, because it would be so awesome to see you guys again live.
Well, it's I've always said about over the years we were apart, that people say, well, Rick says that he'll never get back together with you guys, and I go, never say never. It was a Triumph song, and it's true.
I was about to say, he had to quote it one of your own songs there for sure.
Exactly, strange things, life changes and people change, and, I'm just happy the three of us, can go out and do tours of restaurants and get thrown out of them. So we've been doing that pretty regularly.
That's That's hilarious, man. That is hilarious. Oh, I'd go back to the Rush movie. The reason I mention them is because they're another great three-piece Canadian band. But in the movie, they Alex and Geddy go to a restaurant, and the waitress recognizes Geddy, but she doesn't know who the hell Alex is. It's pretty funny. And evil scientists here again. After Rush does their tour of doing moving pictures, I'm thinking you guys should do the Canadian trio bill, and you guys go out with Rush. That would be just amazing. I don't know if that would ever be talked about or thought about, but being an evil music scientist, that would be a dream.
That would be cool. That's a good idea. It's not that it hasn't been thought of before, by the way, but I don't know if it'll ever happen that way. But, you know, like you say...
Never say never.
Never say never.
Well, Mike, before we let you go, is there anything that you would like to tell the fans out there?
Hey, listen, the Triumph fans are the best fans in the world. They really stuck with us through thick and thin. And I can't think of, having a better group of people support you than the Triumph fans that we have. And as I used to say on stage, Triumph loves you.
Oh, you know what? Before I let you go, Mike, I got a question for you. Now, we've been talking about liquor stores and drinking. I don't know if I mentioned this to you earlier, but part of this show, it's not only hard rock and heavy metal, but it's also great beer. I don't know if you're a beer drinker.
I used to be. I really don't drive. If I have three beers a year now, it'd be miraculous. But you're looking for, great beers?
Yeah, we need to find out what the beer of choice is for the bass player for Triumph, Mr. Mike Levine.
I don't know if they still brew it, but I remember back in the heyday, I got invited to go to the Preakness horse race, the big horse race in Baltimore.
Uh-huh.
At Pimlico Racetrack, and it's a huge event. I mean, there's 100,000 people there, and the radio station had a box on the infield and everything. And afterwards, we were strolling back to wherever the heck we were strolling back to, and we stopped at this bar, and they said, the sign outside was, we stock 100 different beers. And they had this Canadian beer called Yukon Gold.
Yukon Gold.
Yukon Gold, I'd never seen in Canada before, ever. I've still never seen it in Canada. I don't know if it's still around or whatever, but what I loved about it, their logo was a beaver, and on the cap was engraved, "Put a beaver to your lips."
Awesome. Awesome.
So to me, Yukon Gold has to be my favorite beer of all time.
There you go. I've had Kokanee Gold, but I've never had Yukon Gold.
So, look for it. Actually, you should try Googling it, see if it's still around.
Yeah, I'm going to do that.
I'm going to do it too, actually.
Well, Mike, thank you for coming on the RightToRock.com and the Genghis and Ragman show. It was an honor to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you very much, and keep on doing good work. I'm sure the fans of your show, love what you do.
Podcast, and we appreciate you listening, and we want to give a big thank you to Tracy G, who is the third unofficial member of the group. We appreciate all of his work, especially the Broken Dan song, which is the theme song to the Right to Rock podcast.
And also, we're going to give high props to our boys in Sonic X. Adam and Joseph have lent us 13 to finish the show. So what you're listening to right now is 13 by Sonic X. So check them out. And keep checking us out. And horns up.